We are blessed to be in God's Word today. We're going to start in the book of Psalms, and so if you have your Bibles, go with me to Psalm chapter 1. The easy place to find Psalms is crack your Bible in half, and you'll find Psalms. That's where it is. So Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 6, and we're going to go through an assortment of Psalms. You're going to see a yellow box in the bulletin tells you what Psalms are going through this coming year. I should also tell you that during the offering plate, passing the offering plate, you're going to see a video on the screen, and it's going to kind of show you how wheat is sifted by hand, and so that's why that video is going to be playing. It's part of the sermon illustration, but it's also, more importantly, part of the sermon text today. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the assembly, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Father, we love you, and we give you praise for Jesus. And that's why we're here today, Lord, to give praise to Jesus. You are a comfort to us, Lord, especially by giving us your word. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
We're going to begin a little bit different this morning. I want you to, if there's a Bible in the pew, if you brought a Bible, I want you to get your hands on one. Okay. And then we're going to hearken back to maybe our VBS days or maybe just what you've done this when you were a child. But we're going to do a Pledge Allegiance to the Bible. And the reason that we're going to do a Pledge Allegiance to the Bible is we're going to be talking about delighting in God's Word during the sermon time this morning. So I'm going to take my Bible. I'm actually going to hold mine next to my heart, because that's where we really need this Bible, is to come into our heart. So I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And I will hide his words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. So then we're going to sing Thy Word that comes from this. And that is Psalm 119, 105. Is Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's be standing as we sing this song. A little bit longer intro on this one, so just be patient. Next song, and it is Wonderful Words of Life, and that's a twofold title, because God's Word is life, and you can have eternal life if you understand God's Word. John 6:63, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
Wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify us forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
We're going to go to our communion time quickly now with Take Time to Be Holy. It takes a lifetime to be holy. And Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And this song has like nearly 1,000 ways to be holy in it. So here we go.
Children, help those who are weak. Forgetting you, nothing is blessing to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, shall be thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide. Then run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy word, and looking to Jesus. Still trust in his word.
Let's stand as we sing the last verse and the men come forward.
Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. This led by his spirit to fountains of love. Thou soon shall be fitted.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So there are several parables in the New Testament where Jesus cautions against pride. Pride for deeds, pride for wealth, even pride of judgment. Each parable was tweaked to fit his audience. When pride is present, we fail to acknowledge Christ's work in our lives. We are reliant on our own deeds and accomplishments to fulfill us. We keep chasing the next success to keep our lives fulfilled. In the end, we are left feeling empty and lacking direction in our lives. King Solomon had experienced every bit of this and wrote Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. This is only the first half of chapter 127. The second half shows what blessings are given when we give credit of our blessings back to God. Children are the heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. We leave a legacy when we drop our pride and give Jesus glory. The deeds and accomplishments will quickly be forgotten, but our love for Jesus will continue through our kids and those we have reached. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving your grace and mercy to forgive us of our sins, Lord, and give us the opportunity to walk with you, because we cannot do it through deeds alone. And we continue to thank you for your blessings and the ability to walk with you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
you can try to do that and recall some of that. We get back to our scriptures. Psalm 1 is where we're going to be. If you have your bulletin outlined, you can see the sermon outlines in the bulletin today. And so I want to encourage you to grab that. What did I do with my Bible? Thought I just had it. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Good thing my wife's here, or it would be lost. Between her and Jesus, I'm found. So, as we come into Psalm 1, I want to share with you three words that's going to be something on our minds today. Delight determines destiny. Delight determines destiny. I'm going to say it one more time. Delight determines destiny. I can remember once when I was a kid, actually just over the years as a kid, I grew up in northeast Missouri, and there was a small town 35 miles away from my home where I grew up, and this town was called Colony, Missouri. I'm not going to give away Snickers if you know where Colony is, because that cost me last time. But anyway, Colony, Missouri is a great place when I was growing up as a kid. It was one of those places that you dreamed of as a child. Here's why you dreamed of it. You dreamed of it because it was a wonderful place. You walk in that front door, and it had an area that I thought was the size of our church here. And it was full of foot square bins. They were square foot, white bins with quarter-inch plywood. And on every one of those, in every one of those bins was candy. The most wonderful colors, smells, sensations of candy. And when you're under 10 years of age, and you go through the dead of winter, and you get that one spot to go through the dead of winter. If you ever grew up on a farm in the dead of winter, you know you need something. And Colony was that something for me. And so we'd walk in that door. We'd be given a plastic, a brown paper bag. You know they still make those, by the way, brown paper bags. They still do. Anyway, brown paper bags. And you could go around and pick the candies that you wanted. And then you'd weigh the bag. And you'd take the candy home. And I can remember driving home on those dark winter evenings. And we usually went at least once a year before Christmas, maybe twice. But we would go home, and on the way home, my three brothers and I would be in the back seat, whatever car we were driving. Sometimes we didn't have a car. Sometimes we had a truck. And if you ever rode in the back of a truck for long ways in wintertime, it's cold. But we would eat that candy just one piece at a time. Because you know why? We wanted to last the winter. Because that's how often we got to go back there. And so it was a wonderful experience. I wish I had a picture of the store to show you. It's a quite neat place, but it was a wonderful opportunity for me to do that. Anyway, what happened was, going in the wintertime, I delighted in the store. I delighted in the store. I was determined to incessantly talk to my dad and mom about getting to that store because I wanted that store to be my destiny, okay? If any of you have children, you know how determined they can be when they want to get someplace, right? And so I delighted in the store every year and determined to make sure my parents knew about it because I wanted to make that store my destiny. And finally, when we got there, that's what happened. So I want to share with you something. This is proof positive that through that story. Listen to this. What you delight in, scroll down there, Derek. What you delight in determines, go back. What you delight in determines your destiny, okay? What you delight in determines your destiny. Remember that. What you delight in determines your destiny. And so as we're looking at Psalms 1, 1 through 16, I'm going to ask you a question as we step into this text. Here it is. Ready? Here's the question. If I were to ask you today what you delight in, what would you say? If I were to ask you today what you delight in, what would you say? And I think there's priorities in delight. We're going to talk about that as we go through Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Got your Bibles? You're already ahead of me. We're going to go there, Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Remember, Psalms, easy book to find. Crack your Bible in half, and there it is right in the middle, and you'll get there right quick. Psalms 1, 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. That's God's word, okay? And on his law he meditates how often? Day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, what? Prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. And you saw an image of that earlier on the video. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Look, a person who delights in God's word has several promises afforded them. A person who delights in God's word has several promises afforded them. And also just the opposite. A person that doesn't delight in God's word has several promises afforded them as well. And so there are two ways before every one of us. Okay, so think about this. There are two ways before every one of us. And here's those two ways. They are, you can delight in God's word or don't take delight in God's word. It's a black and white issue. You take delight in God's word or you don't, period. That's just the way it is. And so for you and I this morning, here's my thought process. I want to encourage you by day's end to be encouraged to take delight in God's word. That's what I want for your life, and I know God wants it for your life as well. But sometimes what we have to do is understand the implications of not doing something. And so we're going to look up first off what happens when people don't delight in God's word. It's going to be in your bulletin insert. You can fill in the blank, however you want to do it. But the psalmist says, the first paragraph, that we're blessed if we delight in God's word. So that means if you don't delight in God's word, you're not blessed. You're what? Cursed. You're cursed, okay? You don't hear that word very often except when you're working hogs and no one has them anymore. So curse is something we want to make sure we're working through and understand what that means to be cursed, okay? Because this is inspiring us to be blessed by delighting in God's word. Number one is this. It is a curse to keep in step with the wicked. It is a curse to keep in step with the wicked. Look what the first verse says. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Some of your scriptures say, keep in step with the wicked. Okay? So, Stephanie, I want to have you give me a hand here, okay? So let's say Stephanie is a Christian. And she has a, well, for lack of a better word, a wicked husband. Oh, my. Okay. So, said, blessed man who does not keep in step with the wicked. So, if Stephanie chooses to keep in step with the wicked, what's going to happen? She's going to become wicked. Ready? What's Stephanie doing? Following the who? The wicked. Now, some of you may say, but wait a minute, I have people in my life who don't know Jesus. So that's true. We all have those people in our life, right? But however, do I need to keep in step with them? No. I engage them. I encounter them. I go through life with them. But it doesn't mean I keep in step with them. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And so as you and I contemplate, it's a curse to keep in step with the wicked. You're going the wrong way. Think about it in this concept, okay? How many of your friends delight in God's word? Well, it's hard to put a number on it, but you can probably tell by what comes out of their mouth. You see, the company you keep daily, the friends you text, the friends you call, the friends you visit, the people you spend the most time with, how many of those people delight in God's word? And remember, these are people who don't have biblical thoughts. They don't have a biblical delight. They don't have biblical speech. They don't have biblical actions, okay? So keeping in step with these people means that you're doing what they're doing. Unbiblical things. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Don't do that. So here's a thought. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate your language, your spending habits, your daily actions. Are they more in line with Jesus or are they more in line with people who don't delight in God's word? That's how you evaluate if you're keeping in step with people who are wicked. So here's a thought, just run it by you. I think Scripture speaks to this. Stop trying to keep in step with people who don't delight in God's word. Stop trying it. Don't keep up with it. This is one of those Joneses you don't want to keep up with. Okay? Number two. Here it is. Number two. It is a curse to take the way of sinners. A curse to take the way of sinners. Psalm 1:1 says this. Blessed man who does not stand in the way of sinners. You know, years ago I had a bird dog named Sam. Loved that dog. Great dog. And one day we were living in Boonville, and one evening, I guess, my neighbor called me and said, "Hey, Jeff, I just saw your dog hit on the side of the road." And we lived just off I-70, Highway 179, just on the west side of the Missouri River Bridge. And the dog was hit on the road by the convenience store up here, and I said, "Oh man, I don't know how the dog got loose." So I ran up the road real quick. And when I ran up the road real quick where they said the dog was, I didn't find the dog, but I found some blood on the ground. When I got back to the house, the dog had beat me back to the house, and he was in my garage. And something happened to that dog when he got hit. And I'll explain it like this. So, the Bible says, blessed is man who does not stand in the way of sinners, right? Okay? So, where's that arrow pointing? It'd be to your left, okay? So, if I'm a Christian, and I know this is the path that sinners take, people who do not delight in God's word, people who do not want God's word in their life, if I'm a Christian and I'm standing here, what's going to be happening? Okay, you're going to go, Steph, you want to help me again? Come this direction, okay? I'm getting her steps in today. Getting her steps in today. So let's say Stephanie is a sinful person, doesn't delight in God's word, doesn't want God's word in her life, and as she's walking this way, what might I want to do? Oh, so what have I done? I'm following her on the way of sin, okay? So what happens is that when you and I choose to stay in the path of those people who do not love God, who do not delight in his word, we will eventually follow the same path. That's just going to happen. So he says, blessed if you don't do that. And so all of us in this room, all of us have had two ways before us. We've had a way of leading to sin, and we've had a way of leading to God that's been right in front of our eyes. So how do you know if you're on the right path? How do you know that? Love the Psalms. Psalms always straightforward. Here it is. Let's read this together. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. If you are on any path that would have you disobey God's word, what kind of path are you on? You're on the wrong path, okay? I can't tell you over the years how many excuses I've seen people and heard people say, well, God wants me to be happy, so that's why I did this. Is it in God's word? It is not in God's word. If it's not in God's word and you're being disobedient to God's word, you are on the wrong path, okay? So here's a thought. Repent from the path that leads to disobedience to God's word. I'm going to say that again. Repent from the path that leads to disobedience to God's word. Number three, it is a curse to sit in the company of mockers. It is a curse to sit in the company of mockers. So what does it mean to mock? When you hear the word mock, what comes to your mind? Make fun of? What else? Anything else? What else do mockers do? They what? Bullies? Okay, I like that. All right. Say it again. Discourage. How about discouraging? They're discouraging. Okay. If they're God mockers, how are they? How do they mock God? They what? They make fun of Christians, or what else? They may say, you know what? God's word is good for you people, but it's not good for me. It won't hurt me at all. Vern, can I have you take a seat right there for me, Vern? Jim, you want to help me take a seat up here? How about you, Stephanie, one more time? And when you pick up the piece of paper and hold it on your chest, okay? And sit down on that seat there. So look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, okay, and we'll go back to Psalm 1, okay? He says, blessed is man who does not sit in the seat of mockers, okay? Here's what mockers do. I'm going to read out to you what mockers do. Here's what mockers do, okay? Mockers are people who ridicule God and his word. That's what they do, okay? Mockers are people who pretend to keep up with God's word and don't, okay? And when you keep company with a mocker, so if these three are mockers of God's word, and I sit down among them, what's going to be the potential for my life? I could be just like him. Because as they mock God's word, mock obedience to God's word, suddenly I become what? I become a God mocker. And remember, Galatians tells us God cannot be mocked. You will reap what you sow. And so for me as a Christian, I got to understand mockers are people who don't obey God's word, don't delight in God's word. And if I'm keeping company with these people, you know you have to as Christians, I get that. But you must be mindful that as you're in their midst, what could happen to you? You could be one and the same as them. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And I'm glad you're not God mockers. Yeah, me too. So as you contemplate the reality of sitting in the company of God mockers, it means that sometimes there's people in your life who are scornful or have contempt for God's word. They only want to obey parts of God's word, but not all of God's word. So here's a thought. Let's stop keeping company with people who mock God and his word. If you're hanging out with people who make fun of God's word, mock God's word, claim they're this and claim they're that, but they're really not, be very mindful and stop doing that. So here's a thought I have for you. How come it's a curse when people do these three things? How come it's a curse? Okay, we're going to look at Psalm 1, 4 through 6. Here it is, Psalm 1, 4 through 6. All right, here's what the Bible says. Not so the wicked. He said they're not blessed. They are like chaff. Chaff, okay? Derek, if you can, cue that up to about where the fan is and get the slow-mo wheat going, if you don't mind. And we'll just mute it. We don't have to hear it. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So I want to ask you a question. What type of people are in heaven? What type of people? You know, if you've ever been a preacher or a funeral home director, here's what I hear. Everybody goes to heaven. Got news for you. That's not true. Okay? Not true. Okay? Here's who's going to be in heaven. The saved. The saved are going to be in heaven. Now, who are the saved? Well, the saved have passed through judgment. They've had an opportunity to stand before Jesus Christ, and they have been judged worthy of heaven because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. The saved are those who are righteous. They are right with God because they've heard God's word and have come to have faith in the righteousness, death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Judgment is like the sifting of wheat. That's what judgment is like. It's like the sifting of wheat. And as God judges the soul of a person, if you will, or lives of people, he is separating the wheat from the chaff, okay? Now, if you've never seen this before, you can go out somewhere, and probably somewhere green, and buy a $300,000 vehicle to help you do this. But we get this part right here, okay? What's this blowing? That's chaff. What's this here? This is wheat. So as they put the wheat in front of the fan, the chaff, which is the outer skin of that wheat and whatever else may debris, is being blown away, and only the wheat is being put here, and the chaff is being blown away, okay? Let me ask you a question. How much good is chaff to any of us? If you had hogs, you could bed down the hogs. We don't do that anymore. But we use straw. But the Bible says something significant about chaff, okay? How much use does God have for chaff? Matthew 3:12. Derek, if you can find that screen. I think it's screen 12. Screen 12. So let's look at this verse. Let's read this together. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Okay? So, here it is. God is making a thought here, a process here. Okay? He's making a process here. Where does God place the chaff like people who don't obey his word? Where? In unquenchable fire. We normally call that hell. Okay? Derek, can you bring me 2 AA's? My Mac's about dead. Acknowledge. Here's something important. Acknowledge. Acknowledge your pending judgment and repent from any wickedness that leads to destruction. Acknowledge that, okay? This is really important for us to do. Acknowledge your pending judgment and repent from any wickedness that leads to destruction, okay? So here's a thought. As we move forward in the next part. Remember, who are the blessed? Forward from this place, where does God place people who he equates as wheat? Where does he place them? Where he is. If we're wheat and he sifts us out, found to be wheat, he places us, thank you, he places us in heaven where he is. So listen, don't miss this. The blessed are the ones who do this. Here's a blessed. The blessed ones do this. The blessed know. They know it's a curse to stay in step with the wicked. The blessed know It's a curse to stand in the way of sinners. The blessed know it's a curse to sit in the company of mockers. The blessed know that the cursed will not stand in the judgment. They know this, okay? And so the blessed are those who make changes in their life. They make changes in their life to delight in God's word. So let's talk about that. This is an exciting part of this message today, okay? And so you think about the blessed delight in God's word. That's what we do. We are delighting in God's word. Look at Psalm 1, verse 2. He says, blessed is a man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That means God's word. So remember, we already talked about this. Your delight determines destiny. Your delight determines destiny. And so what do you delight in? You think about and evaluate your own life. What are you delighting in? And we've already determined that if a person delights in anything other than God's word, that person will be burned up with an unquenchable fire in hell. That's what happens to them if they don't delight in God's word. So what does it mean to delight in God's word? Well, sometimes we have to grow in this thought process, okay? It means that you can be found in God's word, placing God's word where? I love how Deb said we take a pledge to God's word, and where did she want to put her Bible? In her heart, so that you may be saved. There's a wonderful passage in James 1, verse 21. Let's read this loudly together. Okay, here we go. Ready? Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Where's the word implanted? In your heart. And what will it do? The blessed know this. The blessed know this. They want to live an eternal life. And so what are they doing with God's word? They're placing it in their life to save their life. Okay? And the blessed have made changes. They've made changes in their life to get God's word in their life. How often? What's the psalmist say? Day and night. That means the blessed think about God's word in the morning. They think about God's word in the evening. They think about God's word throughout the day. That's what the blessed do. They always have the thought, I want to get to God's word. They want to do that. And how come? Because they delight in God's word. So here's the thought. Make the choice to delight in God's word. My wife and I went to a bed and breakfast kind of place years ago up in Iowa. I can't even remember the name of this place, but it was kind of a funny place. Had an indoor pool. And it was weird. I probably won't go back. But anyway, when we got to breakfast the next morning, the little old gal came and brought us breakfast. And she said, you know what? A cardiologist told me years ago that if you just eat 5 blueberries a day, you'll live a long time. And I thought, oh, I like blueberries. So I started making a habit of trying to eat 5 blueberries a day. Any idea why? I don't know. He told me it saved my life. So I'll start eating 5 blueberries a day. I've kind of gotten away from it. They say if you eat hot dogs, you lose 36 minutes every day of your life when you eat a hot dog. Vern's dying tomorrow. So having said that, listen. Acknowledge that the Bible is more important than blueberries. And the Bible saves your life. And so for you and I, when we take delight, it's a choice. It's a choice to delight in God's word. I got a freezer full of blueberries. I don't eat them just because I think I'll live. I like to eat them. But here's the point. They're not going to save my life. But what is going to save my life, I want to read God's word, take delight in God's word, because your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. That's pretty powerful. Many of us are finding ourselves listening to a whole lot of authorities in life just to try to get around our current state of affairs in our country. But, man, I'm telling you, the Bible will save your life. It will save your life. Number three is this. The blessed prosper in whatever they do. The blessed prosper in whatever they do. Look in Psalms 1, verse 3. It says, a blessed is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You may not know this about Vern. I'm kind of telling on Vern today. You may not know this about Vern, but Vern used to have a nursery. Okay? He used to have a nursery down in some bottom ground. Remember that, Vern? That nursery? Vern had bottom ground down there. And one time I think I was down there deer hunting or something, and I saw all these trees down there. And I thought, boy, I'd like to have some of those trees. So I don't know how we did it, Vern. You can probably remind me later. But I got 3 oak trees from that bottom ground, and I planted them over my yard. And we were trying to figure when I planted those trees. I think, Derek, we said 2010, somewhere around there. Yeah, 10 or 11, somewhere around there. But do your math. That's only about 2 years ago. But anyway, we had three trees around my yard. And as you look at the three trees, when you get out of church, go look at my yard real quick. I put a tree in the back, a tree in the side, and the tree in the front. I had another tree, but it died. But all the three trees had problems. They broke off, but they started coming back and growing real well. But the front tree in my front yard looks fantastic. It is the greenest, leafiest, wonderful tree. Matter of fact, in the evening time when the sun was hot this summer, it would shade my porch. And it was just a wonderful tree. So trees are great, wonderful things. You know, we went to get Jess 2 weeks ago from Basic, and I got a call Wednesday morning on my way down to OK, Oklahoma, and I get a call from Barry Lyle. He says, Jeff, you've got a 24,000-gallon leak. I'm like, oh. So I had him go in the house, and he survived that because there's no water in there. And when he came out of the house, it must be between the meter and the house. And so, praise God, I had Jacob with me and Jim with me and some other guys with me. We started digging around. Derek started help digging around with me. And we found the leak. We found the leak just right by the meter, not too far from the meter. Do you know what we found growing under the ground through that water? Roots. Do you know what is the greenest tree I have in my yard? The tree closest to my meter. The tree closest to the leak. Now, there weren't a lot of roots there, but it didn't take a whole lot of roots to tap into some of that water. Here's what I think the psalmist is trying to tell us. The psalmist makes the claim that a person that delights in God's word is like that tree in my front yard. That's what he's saying. We're strong spiritually. We're fruitful. We have a lifestyle that displays a healthier lifestyle because we have God's word in our life. We have God's word as a sense of nourishment in our life. You can tell that. You look at my trees out there. That's the fullest, greenest tree I got. The leaves are healthiest because there's water there. Now, some of us would say, well, prosperity, does it mean money? Does it mean if I read God's word today, when I wake up tomorrow morning, I get a text in the bank that says I have $1,000 I never had before? Nope, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you have prosperity. You have fruit in your life, okay? Listen to this. This is very important. The level of fruit you have in your life is a direct relation to the delight you have in God's word. The level of fruit you have in your life is a direct relation to your level of delight in God's word. To take delight in God's word is to acknowledge that God's word is a source of life, much like that water to that tree in my front yard. Now, you can go there if you want. I'm going to read out of Revelation 22. Okay, it's not on the screen. It's in your Bible, of course. You want to go there. It's the last book of the Bible. But some of you, if you just want to hear what I'm saying, and if you want to use your imagination, I encourage you to use your imagination. Just listen to how Psalm 1 compares to Revelation 22. If it helps to close your eyes and listen to what I'm saying, then do that. But just listen to these words out of Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Just listen. Here we go. This is John, and he's in heaven. He gets a scene from heaven. This is what he says. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Did you hear the similarities? There's trees where, both in Psalms 1, both in Revelation 22, the trees were planted where? By water. Revelation 22 says the living water. The trees were producing what? Fruit. Productive fruit. What does fruit do? It nourishes. And the trees don't what? They don't wither. That means the tree never withers. So when you and I have the Word of God as a source of our life, much like the water in Revelation 22, much like the water described in Psalm 1, when you and I have God's Word in our life, we will never wither. That means if we never wither, what will we have always? Eternal life. Now you and I, some of us in this room are old enough, we've done withered. But we're not talking about that kind of withering. We're talking about when you and I die, we're not going to die. We're going to what? We're going to live forever. So, what does this mean when the Bible describes us as believers, those who delight in God's word, is a tree? Our source of life is God's word, much like water to a tree. Our source of life is God's word, much like water to a tree. God's word will produce fruit in our life. God's word will not allow us to ever die. Yes, you physically lay down your body, but your spirit lives because of God's word. So here's a thought. Choose today to make God's word a source of life for your life. Make God's word a source of life for your life. Number three, the blessed will pass judgment and live in eternal righteousness. The blessed will pass judgment and live in eternal righteousness. Judgment is coming. To how many of us? All of us. It's coming. Judgment is absolutely coming. And so that means we are going to be judged by Jesus Christ. And based on that judgment, God will determine your destiny. Okay? Your destiny. But your destiny all is precluded by your delight while you've been here on this earth. Okay? Look at this scripture text. Let's all read this. Ready? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I told you about Sam. Sam, that old dog of mine, great dog. He was a Bozan setter. Great, great, great looking dog. He was a white dog with maroon ticks on him, and I'd take him quail hunting when we had quail. And I tried taking pheasant, but he's more of a quail hunter. Had a great time with that dog, and then, of course, he got hit. That night when I got home, he was in my garage. He'd beat me home from being hit in the road, and something changed in Sam. Something changed. I knew something changed. He was different because when I saw him, he growled at me. He growled at me and kind of hunkered down a corner, and he was acting mean. And so I loaded him up the best I could in the kennel I had, took him to a vet. And when we got to the vet, he wouldn't come out of the kennel. He growled at the vet, tried to bite the vet, tried to bite me. And then as time grew on, he never got better. As time grew on, Sam became even more hostile. He tried to bite my wife one time. One time he was out sledding with a friend of mine that I work with. Sam bit my friend's arm. And at that point I knew Sam's behavior was not going to change. And so, if you will, judgment came to Sam. And judgment is for the dog, you have to die if you bite. You see, we're not dogs, we're people. And we have a choice. And we know that when we die, we're going to meet the judgment seat of Christ. So here's a question for you. Today, if you were to die today, where would you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Where would you be? How would you fare before the judgment seat of Christ? And so as I think about that concept, I can tell how you would know. Do you want to know the answer how you'd know? I'll tell you how you'd know. Listen. It's how much you delight in God's word. Think about this concept for just a moment. If you can say today with conviction that you delight in God's word, that day and night you ache for God's word, that you desire to see his word lived out in your life, then you will be able to stand the judgment of Jesus Christ. That will be good for you. You will be able to stand through the judgment of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's read this together, okay? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Who's in him? It's Jesus, okay? If you can say today with conviction that you delight in God's word, because you heard God's word, to have faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to make you right with God, then you can stand the judgment. You can stand the judgment. And so the only people that are in heaven are people made righteous by Jesus Christ. That's the only people in heaven, the people made righteous by Jesus Christ. Good people, great cooks, and great workers, rich and poor, will not be in heaven unless they've been made righteous by Jesus Christ through the cross of Christ. They won't be there. You have to have Jesus making you right. So here's a thought. Here's a choice. Choose today to acknowledge your pending judgment. It's coming. And live in righteousness with God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. Last point today. Here it is. The blessed are watched over by the Lord. The blessed are watched over by the Lord. Here's Psalm 1, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, the older I get, the more I realize I need help. You know, I've got three Bills in my family. Three Bills, you heard of three Bills in my family? Derek, Jason, and Jacob, brother-in-laws. We got three Bills in my family. And when we do something together and work as men, here's what oftentimes you'll hear me say. Can we move the truck a little closer, fellas? Or I'll do something like this. Can you guys lift that? You see, the older I get, the more I recognize I'm watching young men work while I sit and watch. That's what I do, okay? I've also noticed this as well. I prefer a skid steer over a shovel. I really do. I just do. It's just better for me that way. I have also found that I have fleeting agility, coordination, and hair. It's all leaving. And I've found this to be true more and more as I get older, that the older I get, the more I cherish that the Lord my God is watching over me. The older I get. You know what, folks? I'm a day closer to death than I was yesterday. I've been on the planet for over a half century, and I can't believe it. Seems like yesterday I was just marrying a young girl right here. But the closer I get to death, the more I take comfort in the fact of knowing that the Lord is watching over me as I approach that date. There's a wonderful verse of what it means to me as we go through life and the Lord is watching over us because we're blessed. Remember, we delight in God's word. It's this wonderful verse is right here. Let's read this together. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And so as I look at this concept, it says the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. You know what I have in my house? I have walls going down my stairwell. 10 years ago, I never reached for the wall going down the stairs. Now what do? I grab a hold of the wall and ride that baby all the way down. Okay? That's what I do. It wasn't too long ago, Jess was downstairs in the basement in the spring, and I fell down the downstairs. That's kind of hard on me when I do that. So when I go up the stairs or downstairs, I'm always grabbing that wall, making my steps firm. Guess what God's doing for us as Christians? I know this is true. If you're over 50, you need someone holding your hand. You may not admit it, but you need it. Maybe 40 even. I don't care, but you need someone at some point in your life to hold your hand. And God says he's watching over you, taking hold of your hand, because as you delight in him, he's going to make sure your steps are firm. Now, does that mean I still stumble sometimes? I don't know how it happens, but sometimes, you ever notice this to be true, that when you walk upstairs, how do you miss a step? I do it. I fall down right on my face. I'd rather fall up than down, personally. But the point I'm trying to make is I fall up the steps, but I don't necessarily fall down. That's a good deal. But the thing about me as a man, it comforts me, I guess, if you will, that I fall up than down. But here's the point I'm trying to make. As I'm walking with our Lord and he's making my hands firm, when I do stumble, and I'm going to stumble, will I fall completely down? He's holding me. He's got a hold of my hand, and he's working with me to make sure I'm going to be okay, that I'm not going to completely fall away from him. And so I take great comfort in knowing that. I take great comfort in knowing that as I approach my death, I don't have to be afraid, because I know I have been made righteous by Jesus, and Jesus is watching my way. That's what that says in verse 6. And so here's a thought. I just want to run this by you, okay? Choose today. Choose today to delight in the Lord watching over you. Just take comfort in that. Take comfort in that. I mean, that reduces so much stress when you can just take comfort in the reality that God is watching over you. And so I'll leave you this thought today. Here it is, the three D's. You had a triple D in church today, okay? You got triple D's. Remember what they were? Delight determines destiny, okay? So delight determines destiny. Delight determines destiny. Where is your delight today? Where is your delight today? Well, I've been talking about age some a little bit, and I found out this morning that it happened again. And I don't know if it happens to you, but I'm almost certain it does, because I figure you put one leg in your pair of pants the same way I do, get them on. But have you ever found yourself laying in bed and you feel a tinge of a cramp? and you felt that in your leg, you feel a tinge of a cramp, what's your typical response? Okay. Well, there's been times in my life where I hadn't been very wise to a cramp when it comes up. And so I've had a cramp stop up and I'll go like this. Oh, no, here comes a cramp. And, you know, I'm a quiet person. And your hamstring locks up. And I have actually Jeshua's layers usually in the basement, and I have been on my floor of my upstairs room screaming, and he can hear me. Is Dad dead? I'm still screaming, so if he's screaming, it's usually a good thing. So here's what I've learned. I've learned this, and I wish I'd learned it earlier. When you feel a tinge of a cramp starting on, stretch it right there in that moment. Stretch it. So this morning I had a calf cramp coming on. So I had my leg like this, and I stretch it like that. And the cramp went away right away. Right away. Okay? Here's what I'm trying to say. You have the ability to see sin come in your life as soon as it comes in. You have the ability. If you're a person in God's Word, you're convicted when it's coming. You see it coming, and you know it's coming, and it's coming in your life, and you start feeling in your heart. That's the point. You got to attack it. You got to start delighting in God's Word as soon as that sin comes right into your mind. You get a God's Word on your brain, and you start using that to overcome that sin that wants to overtake you, much like that cramp wants to overcome you at nighttime. You've got to do that. Discern that. Learn that. Because if you don't, I'm suspecting there are worse things than screaming on the floor because of a cramp. If you don't take care of your sin. Hey, let's stand together. I want to pray with you. And we're going to ask God to build our life through our final song. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We give you praise and honor and glory for the blessing of you. You are very kind to us, more ways than we could possibly imagine. Lord, we learned today what it means to be blessed, and we learned today what it means to be cursed. There's no two ways to cut it other than those two ways. And so, Lord, it's black and white. Let us leave this place wanting to be blessed people because we delight in your word. Delight determines destiny. We love you, Jesus, and pray in your name. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you.
things that are going on. Show Me Open Houses. Oh, you got something to read? Okay. Show Me Open Houses, September 11th. Revival. If you got something to read, better sit down. Rick's got something to read. So sit down for a minute. Revival's coming to September 17th tonight. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you would be willing, I need some people volunteer to greet that night. Greet. If you can do that, let me know or show up that night early enough to do that. There's a men's retreat October 1st and 2nd. That's a Flaming Spirit camp. There's a flyer back there in the back bulletin board. You can actually use your smartphone to do that, so, or you can just call directly. So, and, of course, in November, Steve and Nella will be here for an update. Wow, that's November, right around the corner. Okay, go ahead.
So, like, every day I get like a gee whiz. It seems like some days they're negative, some days they're positive. And I told you about my friend Brent from Tennessee. And the gee whiz this morning comes as soon as church service started when Deb done pledged his Bible. So this is what he said this morning. God's word places great emphasis on the meditation of God and his word. One of the best ways I can think to explain the importance of meditation is to place it into the same arena as digestion of food for a person's body. While it is important for a person to consume food, that food will do little, if any, good to the body if it is not broken down to the so the nutrients can be processed. Matthew 4:4 said, he answered, the scriptures say bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word that constantly goes forth from God's mouth. When you read God's word, be sure to meditate on what you just read. Take time to ask yourself questions. Who, what, when, where, and why, and how. By doing this, it will cause more questions, which require more answers, which are found by digging deeper. John Quincy Adams consumed daily God's word. My custom is to read 4 or 5 chapters every morning immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time and seems to be the most suitable manner of beginning the day. Adams made it a point to read the Bible completely through every year. When he was 58 years of age, he stated, "So despite having read through the Bible many, many times, I say 50 or more, I have read the passage from Isaiah. Yet, I was struck with the careless inattention of my mind when reading it this time through. For this reason, meditation on God's Word is important. In reading God's Word, we must also take time to digest what we read, to meditate in our own heart, and be still in Him." Psalm 4:4, "Tremble in awe before the Lord, and do not sin against Him. Be still upon your bed, and search your heart before Him.
Seems to fit.
Yeah.
Why don't you pray?
Lord, we just thank you this day, all that you bless us with, Lord, and the opportunity to come here and worship you, Lord. Just help us to study your word and take it to heart and read it daily. Not just read it, Lord, but live it and try to understand it and be ready to give an account to others.
Amen. Thanks for coming. Great to see you, kids.